Hello and welcome to the Parent Survival Kit, where our mission is to take parents from surviving to thriving in their households. My name is Gene Schwelen. With me is my beautiful bride, Dr. Sonia Schwelen, expert pediatric psychologist, nationally certified school psychologist. And we've got a really interesting three-episode series that we're going to unleash today. Today's going to be episode one. So the series is called Unplugged. In each of the next three episodes, we're going to dive into some really serious concerns and issues that parents are having. It's been around for a long time. It's getting worse. And so we want to address this. So episode one is going to be called Life or Death. Today we're talking about digital addiction, gaming device, social media, internet, and screen addictions. Episode two is going to be called Lost in New York. And then episode three is cyberbullying and sexting. We're going to dive deep into some of these topics. So some of this stuff is going to be eye-opening, gut-wrenching a little bit in some ways. Some real truths are going to come out that all parents really need to be aware of. I think a lot of us are aware of these things, but we want to kind of shy away from them. Our kids don't do that. You know, that's going to happen. That doesn't happen in our households. So really some serious topics that we're going to uncover these next three episodes. So let's talk about today, life or death.
Okay, so when you were introducing the series and you said, you know, today's episode is going to be called Life or Death, I was kind of thinking about, you know, why are we even calling it Life or Death? And then you brought up the fact that we're going to focus on addictions. We're going to talk about addictions. We're also going to talk about subclinical things. So not full on addiction to technology or devices, but also just concerning behaviors that may not necessarily meet the threshold for full diagnostic criteria, you know, to be called an addiction, but still things that parents need to be aware of.
Yeah, and today we're going to really look at different age groups as well. So no matter what type of parent you are, how old your kids are, these addictions, they do affect all ages, not even just kids, but adults too. But as we look at the kids, uncovered some different types of behavioral things that we see with these types of addictions. And even referencing some of our own kids from 17 years old, 7, 2, and 1 years old, we cover the whole spectrum. So,
yeah, that's right. So we have some real life examples that we're going to go through today. And just to be clear, so I think there's a big umbrella that is, you know, we can call it the digital addiction. And there's all different kinds of things that fall underneath that umbrella. So we hear terms all the time like, you know, my kid is addicted to screens, so a screen addiction, or device addiction, or technology addiction, or gaming addiction.
Or phone addiction.
Phone addiction, very good.
I tell us that all the time. I'm going to have to surgically remove that from your hand.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that too, because for kids, a lot of the time, it can feel like another appendage. Like it's truly like another arm, as if it's a part of their body. And so taking it from them can very much feel like you've cut off an arm. It's a painful experience for them, emotionally and physically. there are actually official names for addiction in like the DSM or in the ICD. Now, these are things that the World Health Organization is strongly considering to become a part of the diagnostic manuals and the way that, you know, providers are thinking about how to label these problems in kids. So you may hear things like internet addiction disorder or internet gaming disorder. Those are some more of the like official terms. The World Health Organization is pushing to really start recognizing those terms and to be able to talk to parents and families about some of these real problems that are being studied, researched, you know, with evidence to support that these are very concerning things, and becoming addicted to devices is truly a phenomenon that is occurring in many people today.
Absolutely. And there's also even inpatient centers across the country. We looked at one and talked to some people at one in Seattle as an example, that have an entire just huge inpatient facility specifically dedicated to those who have gaming addictions.
That's right. And so I think today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of parents have heard that, you know, watching screens or looking at a screen for too long is not good. And their cell phone may even give them a notification every day or every week about your screen time was up, you know, 30% this week, or it was down 50% today. And And they understand it, but they don't necessarily always know why. So we hear all the time, you know, our gut feeling even tells us, like, this isn't normal. This is not how we grew up. Why are the kids always wanting the device or on a screen? But then we don't really have the information. And that's what I find. Clinically, parents will say, I get it, but I don't get it. I mean, why is this truly bad? So we're going to definitely cover some of that research today, talk about the real-life implications. And then, like you said, there's actually treatment centers that are popping up now that are dedicated just to treating device addictions.
Well, and if you look at your phone with those pop-ups that tell you your screen time, they wouldn't have those calculations if it wasn't for a particular reason, right? So it's got to be something that's serious. In fact, there was an article at one point in time that I saw that Steve Jobs even said, when he was asked about, would you give your kids a cell phone? He says, not until age 13, at least, you know, and that says a lot from a guy who everything is mapped and chased around the iPhones today. So,
right. And I mean, I think there's that reference, you know, to phones as like the Crackberry, you know, like the Blackberry, the Crackberry. And so people definitely have like a sense that there is something very addicting about technology, but truly understanding it. So I think, let's talk about some real life examples of the issue, because, you know, we want to kind of put it out there to help people recognize what it even looks like. And then I can go into some of the research that's out there. Yeah. So we see it all the time, like you mentioned, with our kids, right? But I also see it in clinic with clients all the time. So, you know, with our 17-year-old, you want to talk about that for a second?
Sure. Let's jump in. So with our 17-year-old, we had to really put some boundaries around gaming and also cell phone. And, you know, this actually started right before his 17th birthday. But we were just seeing just sleep patterns change completely. His demeanor, his attitude, his lack of involvement with the family and siblings and whatnot changed completely. His drive for different things that he really loved and cared about when it came to sports and things, that completely changed as well. We started seeing that diminish. To where all he really cared about was being in front of a game on his cell phone. He would sleep late during the summertime. And, of course, with the pandemic and being out of school the last quarter of last year, just lots and lots of changes. And so we had to make some serious boundary changes and whatnot. And so if you want to find out if your kid has an addiction to any type of device, the easiest thing to do is take it away. And you can even say, you know what? I don't have to take it away from you for the entire day, but guess what? Tonight, when you go to bed, you're going to leave the device in our bedroom and see how your kid reacts, regardless of what age they are. In fact, we've got some wonderful nieces that love to come hang out and whatnot, and they always want to sleep over, but when they realize that we have a rule in our house that all cell phones, no matter how old you are, if you are under 18 years old, it will stay on our kitchen island. They always change their mind. No, we're not going to stay tonight. We'll just hang out and we'll go home later on, right? So that's how you find out if you have an addiction to a device.
That, I mean, somewhat.
Well, that's the easy way to really start digging in.
That's the easy way to start digging in. I like that. The actual clinical recommendation, again, is to not just take it away, because if we're going to really look at this as an addiction and define it as an addiction, we know that if we just rip the device away, right, it can send our children into a state of withdrawal. And so we want to be very thoughtful about how we set up boundaries and truly get your child to appreciate some time unplugged.
And that's very important to mention as well, because even though we're making some jokes about this, this is a really serious topic, and it really is a serious addiction. And when I'm talking about addictions, I want to talk about substance abuse, chemical addiction, drug addiction. You're going to go into some of that here later on in the episode. And by ripping that away can definitely cause some serious, you know, issues with our children. So,
yes, I think, you know, with our 17-year-old, it's important to remember, too, that before the gaming started, he was very social. He was academically involved. He was an athlete. He was super active, a very friendly kid, happy-go-lucky, kind of lighthearted, helpful, had no issues being around the family, pretty laid back, kind of easygoing kid. And then, like you mentioned, once the gaming started, we just kind of saw this intense change and fairly quickly. Yeah, it was a decline. You know, where he was more withdrawn, he was sleeping more during the day. He was also not eating. What happened was he would sleep so long during the day that he would end up sleeping through meals. And then he would get all of his food intake at night in front of the screen. And so the things that he chose to eat were maybe like bags and bags of chips or just snacks that he would find out of the pantry. And we would find those wrappers later hidden under the pillow or the bed, just messy.
Trash can never flowing. Things are just easy to grab and all that.
And so over time, you know, his sleep was impaired. His nutrition declined. His overall mood changed. He was more isolated. And I describe him, honestly, at that point, when it was at its worst, that he had become like a shell of who he used to be. And so I say that because it's a very real experience. And parents, I want you to, like, listen to your gut. I want you to think about, okay, who is my child? Your instinct on who your child is and what their personality is, no matter how old they are, is always spot on. You know your child the best. And so even if they're going through that phase of being a teenager, and everybody kind of says, you know, teenagers want to be off on their own and they spend a lot less time with their family, or they're just being a teenager, it can be very easy then to explain it away and ignore it. But you do know life before your child became a teenager, and you can remember what they were like when they were happier or doing better. And so that's the person I want you to help fight for, because that's your child, the one that you remember.
Absolutely. And one thing that's very important to really keep in the forefront of your mind as a parent is when your kid gets involved, regardless of what age they are, in games, whether it's gaming on a computer or on their cell phone or being in YouTube and whatnot, they are making friends now with kids that you're never gonna lay eyes on. You're never gonna meet their parents. That's their new inner circle, and they're being influenced by other people that you have no clue who they are or what they're about, and really and truly they don't either. So it changes everything. It's a game changer.
It is, and I think in the second episode, especially, we're gonna talk a lot about safety around the use of the internet and gaming and all of that. And that's a huge topic that we're going to discuss.
Absolutely.
Another really good example I have of a true device addiction is actually a client that came into the clinic, a 13-year-old girl. She was actually considered to be addicted to her cell phone and social media. And what happened was, over time, again, she was more of a social person. She was spending time with her family, you know, just a little bit happier when she was younger. And then as soon as she became addicted to the phone, her parents started to see a huge change and a decline in her overall demeanor. She ended up staying in her room for days on end without ever coming out. She wouldn't eat. She would get extremely upset when her parents would walk into her room just to check on her. And if at any time they tried to take the phone away, she would literally become violent. So she would hit and scream. She would threaten to run away. And at one point, she actually did run away. And when she ran away, the father had to go get her and bring her back. But when he did bring her back, I think she ended up like at the end of the street or something, she was screaming, kicking, throwing fits, and just was out of control. And so that is a real life example as well of just how out of control the behavior can become when someone is truly addicted to their phone. Now, when asked about what is it about the phone that you're worried about your parents seeing, are there things on there that you don't want them to know about? And it was never anything that she felt like was forbidden or something that she shouldn't be doing. It was more the principle of it. Like, this is my lifeline. My friends are there. I talk to them. They trust me. I need to protect their privacy and what they're going through, and I don't want my parents to see that. And also, when I'm feeling down, my phone has all the answers. I can go listen to music. I can watch a YouTube video. Everything I need is on my device, is pretty much the message that she was giving me when I would talk with her. She also at one point said, I just don't want anything to change. I am fine spending every day alone in my room as long as I have my phone. And so her quality of life completely dismantled right before her parents' eyes. She ended up having to need hospitalization, like a higher level of care, because it had gotten so out of hand at that point.
You know, and that like makes me think of just kids in general with their phones and the entitlement and whatnot. And you talked about privacy, and we're going to dive into that deeper into the next episode as far as privacy and whatnot. But we have to also consider the fact that when our kids are isolating, there's so much concern there. There's already a concern with technology today and phones. Most kids are texting. They're not calling each other on the phones like we used to do back in the day. And, you know, when you and I met, we'd spend hours all night long on the phone with each other. Couldn't hang up. You hang up first. No, you. You know, who's going to hang up first? I'm not hanging up. You hang up. And all that. And kids don't do that anymore. It's all texting and whatnot. So there's no social interaction there to begin with the cell phones these days. Kids are self-diagnosing. They have, you know, questions and concerns about themselves, how they're feeling, their bodies, and everything else. They're talking to their friends. They'll just Google it, and Google has all the answers. And there's chat rooms and other places you can go to find answers, which we also will dive into deeper next episode. But there's a lot of concern here that we really need to be aware of when it comes to devices, phones, tablets. You know, as we talk about different types of case studies and whatnot, we have our 7-year-old, and we saw at 3 and 4 years old, as a blended family and spending, you know, 1 week on here, 1 week off over here. When she was at her mom's house, she would have her iPad over there that she actually would, I mean, that was the iPad nanny, right, that we all know of. And that was very much the case at her mom's house. And when she was at our house, if you remember, we literally had to hide her Till iPad from her. And she would, like, go try to search for it and ask for it. And it's mine. I want to see it. Why can't I have my iPad? And we had to do a lot of work breaking that habit. To where, to this day, she doesn't even have an iPad or a phone at her house. But the tantrums and just the out of controlness and just that overwhelming desire to have that near her, just to have it in her possession at 2 and 3 and 4 years old, right, was that's just mind boggling.
Yeah, and so we're going down the spectrum in age. So we started at 17, now we're going to 13, and now we're at 7 years old. And as you get younger, you actually start to see more tantrums. So when they're older, they tend to isolate and withdraw and feel like no one understands them except the people that they're talking to, either in the gaming chat rooms or on social media on their cell phone or whatever it might be. Those are the types of responses that the older kids will give. In a younger child, like a 7-year-old or a 2-year-old even, we see the tantrums. So a classic sign of, you know, maybe the device is starting to cause some signs of addiction is when you try to remove the device and you see a complete meltdown. And parents anticipate that meltdown. So they'll anticipate it to the point where they've learned kind of naturally to just give a bunch of warnings before actually removing that device. And then even then, they might not even follow through on the warning that they've given because they're trying to avoid that meltdown. So the emotional meltdown in younger kids can be a sign that the child has spent way too much time on that device and they're actually starting to show signs of addiction when the emotional regulation is becoming impaired.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Even with our 2-year-old, when we have him watching cartoons and whatnot, and we're right there with him even during those cartoons, but once he sees one episode of a cartoon, and it may be a 15-minute episode, he wants another and another and another.
Right.
One more. And then when we take that away, that's when we see the meltdown, the tantrum and whatnot. And, it can literally be out of control to where all we can do is take him outside, get him away from the devices, take him to a really quiet place, and really take some time with him to let him calm down. But it's a lot of work.
Yep, And that, I mean, that's a true sign that we're not even doing what we need to be doing as parents sometimes, right?
It's tough. It's tough. It really
we
is.
We even see it in our one-year-old. And so I see this with parents a lot, especially now during the pandemic, where we sometimes feel like we don't have a choice but to get on FaceTime or to do more Zoom calls so that our kids can stay in touch with their grandparents or other family members that they're not able to see in person anymore because of the pandemic and travel restrictions and whatnot. And so more and more parents are starting to put their babies in front of a screen just so the grandparents can say hi. And so, you know, I really do caution against that. I say be very careful, be very curious, you know, take a look at how your baby or infant or very young child is responding to that. Because, you know, we even see it with our one-year-old when she even just sees a phone. It may not even be turned on. She automatically recognizes that it is a phone. And if you think about it, children today, from the day they are born, they're literally born into a world where they have a phone in their face. Because new moms especially take pictures constantly of their sweet little babies from infancy, you know, from the day that they come into the world.
Selfies all the time that we're doing with our kids. Yeah. I mean, we see it with even our one-year-old, and this has been going on for a couple of months now, but she takes the phone and she actually grabs the phone and whatnot. She'll put it up to her ear because she knows exactly what the phone does.
Right.
But if we really think about it, even going that back to even when kids are 2 and 3 and 4 months old, when they start seeing their reflection in the mirrors, they are drawn to that. They want to kiss themselves. Like we saw our 2-year-old and our 1-year-old really trying to kiss themselves in the mirror. That's, you know, it's so cute and whatnot, but it's that screen. It's that reflection. It develops at a very, very young age.
That's true. I mean, that's part of brain development. And so in terms of, you know, making sure that you're not just handing the phone off to your baby or letting them look at this TV when the TV's on, making sure that they're turned away from it or that you wait to turn the TV on until after they go to bed. You know, those are some of the strategies that I try to advise parents on when you're trying to protect really young eyes from screen addiction. So those are some personal or close to home examples. But then I think there's the examples that everybody can say that they've noticed. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we have a really close friend that I've known for over 20 years, and him and his wife, I mean, they're very highly educated, very successful people. I mean, so there's no one that's excluded in this. I mean, even we struggle at times with certain things in these areas because it's tough. It's tough in the technology world, especially as you mentioned with the pandemic and doing Zoom and FaceTime and whatnot, so we can keep everyone linked in at different times. But, you know, we've got some friends that their young daughter, who's now like 3 years old, I mean, she owns his phone. So at night, if I wanted to get in touch with him anytime after 5 o'clock, it's impossible. You would think he's at work from 5 o'clock till about midnight because he can't answer his phone. But no, actually, he answers his phone during the day and not at night because this kid owns the phone. And she knows how to decline calls. She doesn't tell him when text messages come through. I mean, she owns the phone. She lives on YouTube. And, you know, these things are really serious stuff. We also see kids when we used to go out to dinner before the pandemic. I mean, we would see families and mom and dad are there on their phones. Kids have their headphones on and they're sitting there with their tablets and they're quiet. So everyone has a peaceful dinner all to themselves. It's like they have their own little bitty booth or you know, little pod that they're in with their device and their dinner. And it's, you know, everyone's happy. And that's what we see and you know, across the world today.
Well, and even the example that you just shared about the kids at the restaurant, you know, where no one's really having a conversation, the children are kind of being nannied by the tablet, but that headphone example, because when I see kids with headphones, you know, it's one thing, but lately here I've been seeing a lot of teenagers and younger kids with those AirPods in all the time too. So they're not necessarily have a screen in their face, but they constantly have something in their ears, something that's stimulating them, just some connection to technology at all times.
Yeah, it reminds me of this is just actually like probably just a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but I would see all these, and it, more so, it's kind of funny, more so guys and girls, but guys and girls, and usually, you know, parents or adults, and they have that earpiece in.
The Bluetooth earpiece,
and they're walking around, no matter where they're at, and they have that in, and they're walking around talking.
They look like they're talking to themselves.
And I looked at them, I'm like, they really think they're so important. It's so funny. I mean, I just thought it was hilarious. I'm like, I would never do that.
You don't really see that anymore now.
You don't, but now everyone has the AirPods, and now they're getting smaller and smaller, and they're easy to hide. And one thing that we've noticed that we've even seen with our 17-year-old, and I've seen it with a lot of kids in different ways as a coach and whatnot, kids are sitting there doing homework with their AirPods in, listening to music or watching something on YouTube or whatever it may be while they're doing their homework. And parents actually are allowing this more and more and more. And our son even tried to say, well, I mean, I can concentrate better if I have those in. Really, can you? Can you multitask that well? Because there's a famous saying out there, and I forgot who said it, but to do more than one thing at one time is to do nothing at all.
And because, you know, actually scientifically, it is impossible for our brain to attend to do different things fully at the same time, right? And so multitasking is a myth. It's not a real thing. But what you said is there's more and more parents out there that are allowing it to happen. Because kids can be so convincing, right? And sometimes in the life that we live, the busy life where we're constantly sacrificing as parents, it's just easier to like pick certain battles, right?
Yeah.
And I think today we're here to say when it comes to technology and devices, this is a battle you want to pick.
This is a life changer, man. This is why we call it life or death. It's a game changer for future success. You know, this is something that's really been coming up more and more over the last few years. It wasn't prevalent in my time. You're a few years younger than me, sweetheart. But even in your time, I mean, I remember when I was in high school.
I have a really good story I want
to
say.
I had to borrow my, I mean, if I wanted to use a cell phone, I had to borrow my dad's Motorola big block phone and whatnot. And I mean, I remember one time we went on vacation to Alabama over the summertime for like 2 weeks, and I was so upset because I had to leave my friends and my girlfriend and everything else during this two-week time period. I'm like, I don't have a way of talking to my friends. My friends are out doing these things or going to the beach. And so I would sneak off of my dad's phone and go to the rec center that we could walk to. And I used his phone. Now, of course, I didn't know any better. But back then, they didn't have unlimited, you know, national calling or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it was like pay per minute if it was outside the area. And so when my dad got that phone bill several hundred dollars later, boy, I found out about it real quick. So I did a lot of work that summer. So not only did I didn't see my friends during that two-week time period, but for the rest of the summer, I didn't see my friends because I was working that phone bill off. But it is a life or death thing that we're talking about here. We've got to put boundaries around this. We have to model proper behavior. We have to really model just social skills and a lot of things. So we're going to go ahead and get into the tips that we want to go ahead and discuss. And I'm going to let you take that away.
Well, not tips yet. So I really want to highlight some of that research.
Okay.
So I think it's, you know, because I think, you know, parents understand that there's issues, and the ones that we just talked about, everybody gets it. They kind of know something doesn't feel right, but I want to talk about really why. Why is this an issue? And so, like I said, you know, the World Health Organization has been suggesting that these be official diagnoses, you know, in the medical world and the psychological world that we're able to give to individuals, because there is actual research, you know, that shows that kids especially, but adults as well, are exhibiting true signs of addiction with gaming, with cell phones, and with other devices, okay? So that's why there's all these different names for it, screen addiction, gaming addiction, device addiction. We're basically talking about the same thing.
And that's the big problem also. There's so many different addictions that are all related that no one knows what even to call them really as of yet.
Yeah, so it's all the same thing. It's just all different ways of saying the same thing. But basically what that means when someone has an addiction is that they're really struggling to show true control. So they have very little control over how much they're using their device. Their behavior, so the amount of time they're spending on that device or with that technology overtakes all other interests, you know, and that's the example with our son, for example, we saw that happen.
We can see that as parents also. I mean, when we're binging on Netflix, as an example, or listening to the Parent Survival podcast, and you want to binge on episodes.
I'll give another example of that. With parents, we can see it when they bring the cell phone to the dinner table and they're checking email during a family meal, right? So it's happening across all ages. We see that when it's like a true addiction, it's continuing despite the negative consequences in someone's life. So this is something that is truly hard to put down, truly a behavior pattern that is very difficult to change, even though there are true negative consequences happening. So in the example of, you know, the 13-year-old client that came in the clinic, she would get in trouble frequently. She had a deteriorating relationship with her parents. She was not feeling good because she wasn't eating on time or really much at all by the time she came to see us. So there are true negative consequences occurring. Relationships are falling apart and things like that, but the behavior is not changing. Then we also see disruption of just different aspects of life. So, you know, for adults, it could be financial disruption. Maybe they're not concentrating so much at work, or they're not able to focus on other tasks because they're just stuck in a pattern of watching Netflix or whatever it might be. There's personal disruption. So for someone like our son, for example, he stopped hanging out with his friends. He started actually being caught in lies, you know, and the parent-child relationship started becoming more stressful. We see that there are educational consequences. So we might see kids listening to music when they're supposed to be focusing at school. We might see grades starting to drop. And then sleep and self-care. Those are really two big red flags when we see people so addicted to technology that it's impacting their sleep. The biggest, most prevalent example I have of this is kids are going to bed later and later and later at night, and parents can't keep up. I mean, I can't tell you how many times a family will walk into my clinic and say that they go to bed before their kids do now. And when I ask their children, you know, what time do you go to bed at night? They'll say, I don't know, sometimes 1:30, sometimes 4 a.m. You know, it's all over the map. And every time when I say, well, what are you doing all night? Why are you up? And the answer is, I just can't sleep. Well, why can't you sleep? And then they say, well, I was FaceTiming with my friends or house party, or I was playing some games, or I was looking at YouTube videos, and I go down these rabbit holes and it just kind of happens. And
those rabbit holes are something also they really feared, which we'll dive into next episode. But.
Right. But 100% of the time is what I'm trying to get across here is when kids are going to bed later and later and not sleeping or having sleep problems, it's because of some kind of technology use. And so research shows that addiction is associated with poor nutrition, a lack of exercise, depression, anxiety. And I know you're going to jump all over this because you love talking about, you know, just with the pandemic and with technology use and what we're seeing in our kids more and more is that they are meeting criteria for mood disorders now, right? You want to say something about that?
I'll let you go ahead and dive
okay. Social anxiety is huge. So, you know, you mentioned that kids more and more aren't talking to each other. They're just talking to friends in a chat room. So we're actually seeing a large increase in social anxiety disorder diagnoses. I'm seeing more and more in my clinic more than ever before right now during this time of the pandemic. And I think one pattern that I have found, I don't have numbers to back this up right now, but I'm sure if I did the research, I would have very good numbers to back it up, is that kids who are meeting criteria for social anxiety disorder are usually the kids that are also technology addicted. And so if you think about it, it's a very natural and important, critical part of human brain development to be able to look someone in the face and have a conversation with them. We as human beings are social beings. That's just how we're made. So we have to make eye contact. We need the nonverbal in order to really communicate and feel connected. And when we always have a screen in our face, we miss that very, very important experience to our development. And in kids these days, they just don't know how to talk to each other unless it's through a screen.
Well, and that's very important. What I want to point out with what you just said is that you know, you talked about some of the behavioral things and some of the signs and whatnot, but kids are finding their joy in life and really just their well-being, who they are, as attached to their device. As you mentioned, their friends are going to be the friends they're playing games with and whatnot online, who they don't even really know. When they have a problem, they're turning to these friends, these strangers that are their friends, and getting advice. I mean, we've seen it through the clinic also, that suicidal ideation is higher than it ever has been. I mean, it is serious. You know, you got strangers out there playing games with kids, and the kids think these are their friends and say, well, you should do this and you should do that. Go cut yourself or do this and do that. I mean, we're seeing it nonstop.
That's right.
And as parents, a lot of us are thinking about, okay, well, screen addiction. Well, I'm just going to get on Amazon and buy those glasses that reduce the blue light and everything's going to be good. But it's really not about the eyes. The eyes are actually the least of the concern right now with screen addiction, with all these other things so prevalent. So it's really important to really understand the magnitude of how this stuff will unspiral. And once you get to a certain point, it is very, very difficult to get your kids back. And it starts now. And if we don't make a change today and start making changes today, what about our grandkids and their grandkids? I mean, it's just going to spiral out of control.
Yeah, and I can tell you're really worried. So it's a good thing we're doing this series. I want to tell parents, too, just kind of the addiction definition. Because I think when we hear the word addiction, we think about drugs and alcohol, right? And so it's newer to think about it with regard to technology. But think about addiction as just this compulsively repeating the same behavior at the cost of everything in your life. And that's really what it comes down to. And so that is why that's what we're applying to technology when we're talking about addiction. And so with that as the definition, there are studies that show that digital addiction can damage the brain the same as too much alcohol or drugs. So essentially what that means is that research has found that brain scans of children who are addicted to technology look the same as brain scans of a person who's addicted to heroin, cocaine, meth, and alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, that's disturbing. And the sad thing is, as parents, I think we're ignoring these signs all too often because life is busy. We're too busy. It's too hectic. It's easier to put them in front of a screen, to hand them a tablet. I don't want to question my kid on his cell phone because that's his cell phone. That's his privacy. You know, everything's good. I don't want to disrupt anything. It's tough work being a parent, but that's our job and that's our duty. And so we need to take this seriously.
Yes. And so, I mean, literally when you're handing your child a phone, right? You can think of it as handing them crack.
Well, and one thing I want to point out also is our kids are learning faster than ever. Kids are developing at a much younger age, and we've seen that for the last, you know, few decades. But I mean, it's kids learn more things today in elementary school and first and second grade than we learned in middle school when I was growing up. I mean, it is insane, right? And so just what we need to understand is that when our kids are on devices, whether it's cartoons, I mean, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, they are teaching our kids things, you know, Daniel Tiger, they are teaching our kids things. Every time our kid is in front of a screen, they are being taught something. Who is teaching our kids and what are they teaching them and what are our kids learning? And if we're not observing what our kids are learning and being a part of that learning process with them and being the ones to point out things and educate our kids through the screen time they're receiving, our kids are hearing something and they're making up their own mind of what's real, what's not real, what's true, what's false before we can even have that conversation with them. And once they develop that mentality that this is real and this is not real, it's very difficult even as their own parent to change their mind because they've already made up their mind. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, our kids are being educated. Who's doing the educating?
Right. And so I think that is like a perfect segue into what the tips for this week are going to be.
Let's do it.
We know that we can't get away from devices, right? It's just a really normal part of our world today. And so We're not here saying rip those devices away, get rid of them. That's not realistic.
No, we're actually here saying we struggle in some areas, some ways too. This is very real for everyone.
Right.
Because technology is a very important part of all that we do, no matter what you do in your career.
Yeah. And so to live in this world, you have to know how to be responsible with technology. So the tips for this week are to observe and to model. That's what we're going to focus on this week.
Go ahead, baby. Model it for us.
All right. So observe. I'm basically just calling all parents to take a step back and collect data this week. Be curious. Find out what your children like to do, what they are currently doing, why they like it. Just be very curious. Understand what it is about it, you know, their preference that they enjoy, and just gather information. That's all. We're not trying to make any legit changes with our kids this week. We're just trying to first understand the baseline.
Yeah, and so with that being said, you know, we don't want you to go out there. The next episode's going to dive into more serious things. I know we had a lot of serious topics today we discussed and things that are definitely concerning. The next episode is going to be even more gut-wrenching. It's going to be, I mean, right in your face, but this call to action for this week is to observe, to be a part of what your kids like. That actually goes a long way in itself. When you're actually beside your daughter or your son, doesn't matter how old they are, and being a part of their life, just observing, they actually really like that. They may think it's weird at first. What are you doing about my business? Why are you up here next to me? Like, why do you care? But once you are like just really just wanting to be a part of their life and just seeing what they're doing, they actually really enjoy that. So you can really see what's going on. Ask questions. Hey, you like playing this game? Why do you like playing this game? We talked about this in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. You know, what type of apps do you like? What do you chat with your friends on? Why do you like that app? You know, one thing that we should all know as parents, no matter how well versed we are in social media, I'm not well versed at all, but there's some parents out there that are well versed. Your kids always know more than you do, and they always will. All the predators out there will always know more than all of us will. They're always a step ahead. So even with some great resources we will provide you with in the next episode, even those resources are always having to go in and research different things, because there's always things that are changing, and our kids always know more than us. So asking questions, you know, what do you chat with your friends on? Why do you like that? Just being curious, and then go Google it and go find out what it's all about and really research, but do that on your own time with your kid. Just be involved.
Right. And then the second tip for this week is to model. And so when I say model, is our kids are always watching, and everything we do, they observe as well. And so we don't want to be those parents who are the ones who say, do as I say and not as I do. We also want to start where we can. And so what I'm encouraging all parents to do this week is to model time unplugged. So what does that mean? Have some no phone zones in your house or no device zones. Leave your device at the door. When you're sitting down to have a meal, put the phones away. You know, make the dinner table a no phone zone. When your child comes and talks to you, don't do this where you're, you know, scanning through your phone and you're like, yeah, what? Hold on a second, right? Stop what you're doing. Put that device down. Look your child in the eye and talk to them. So those are the things that I want the parents to focus on this week, is observe your child and model unplugged time.
Yeah, and with observing also, I just wanted to just add in there. So whatever age your kid is, like even our two-year-old, watching the cartoons that they're watching, because sometimes we put on a cartoon that we think is going to be appropriate, or it may be appropriate, and we find out real quick that, oh my gosh, this is not appropriate at all. Some of the things they're saying, teaching and whatnot, there may be some scary things that our kids have nightmares about later on, even though it was we thought a kid appropriate cartoon. Right. And then with the modeling, you mentioned no cell phone or no device zones, which is a great thing we should do. We should also have some time blocks throughout the day or in the evening that, you know, for 30 minutes from this time to this time, and start it today. And this will be a good segue into some things we're going to actually really have call to action on next episode and the third episode. But start today for 30 minutes from this time to this time. None of us have devices at all. We're going to sit together and play a game or talk or
Go for a walk. Throw the ball around. Get some fresh air.
Sounds
good.
Get
the cards out. Teach your kids how to play rummy.
Rummy, now that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in today to the Parent Survival Kit, where our mission is to take our households from surviving to thriving. We really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. If you got anything out of this podcast, we do ask that you subscribe to this podcast. And also, if you have comments or questions, we love getting comments and questions from our listeners. We also love to see stories and hear stories and whatnot of things that you've done that have worked. And also, if you're struggling with things, let us know. We can definitely respond back to all those questions and comments. And you never know, some of your concerns may also be the next episode. So thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to the next episode, Lost in New York Unplugged Part 2. Thank you so much.